Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Believe it or not, it's already Friday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, barring incident. So you should have a brand new one tomorrow morning you can swing over there and check out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
All right. Well, you know, Dan, I know we, I don't think either of us watched any or much of it. I think I watched about 10 or 15 minutes of it because I wanted to see who the Bears picked. But the thing I have to tell you that I loved so much about the draft last night, every one of those jokers who do a mock draft and act like, you know, this is how it's going to go and this is what these teams are going to do, were so dead wrong last night, it wasn't even funny. Now, you know, I'm sure they hit on a couple picks here and there, but not even close, Dan. These guys were so far off. And it got to the point where I think I enjoyed it more for that than anything else. You know, because, you know, like, I, you know, you go back and look at it, and, you know, nobody had Baker Mayfield going first. You know, there was some late-breaking news on it, and I'm sure a lot of those jokers tried to go in and change their mock drafts, so, you know, they would look like they know what they were talking about, but none of them had those guys. You know, most of them had Josh Allen going number one, you know, stuff like that. So that was pretty humorous. And then, you know, the majority of them also wanted the Giants to go quarterback, which was just incredibly stupid. But, you know, they're the alleged experts, and, you know, you and I are just two guys talking on a phone. And, you know, and the Giants were smart enough not to listen to them. You know, as you got a little farther down the draft, you know, they were talking about how the Bills were going to have to give away whatever they needed to do to move up to get a quarterback. In the end, it ended up costing them 2 first-round picks to move up to the 8th spot where Tampa Bay was, or not 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, excuse me, to move up to 8 to get one of the quarterbacks that was still there that slipped down the board because they didn't come off the board like all these guys had predicted they were going to. So it was just kind of like, yeah, okay, maybe we need to reevaluate how we do this or something, because that was, you know, like I said, it was hilarious to me just to kind of watch it happen. So...
Well, and you know, like you said, they're experts. It's just a matter of their opinion and what they think. You know, how much of it is really based on, you know, what the actual needs of the team are.
So, yeah, you know, so I thought that was, you know, like I said, that was the most fun part of it for me. And, you know, for a change, Dan, I also actually want to give the Bears a little credit. I know normally, you know, the last few years I've been really critical about their drafts and, you know, the way they kind of do it ever since basically the Kevin White pick you know, I've kind of dogged them. And while I still do believe they gave up way too much to move up one spot to get Trubisky last year, I believe that was more of a San Francisco 49er con job than it was the Bears just not knowing what they're doing. They actually did a really good job last night when they were sitting at 8 and a couple guys that I thought were going to be really good fits for them came off the board. I was really afraid they were going to panic and like grab a wide receiver because that's a really big need for them. But there was no wide receiver that deserved to go in the top 10. And they actually stayed to their guns and they picked the best linebacker on the board. And I mean, obviously we won't know until they start playing, but it looks like they got a really good guy in that. I think it's Roquan is how it's pronounced. You know, all the names now are just out of my grasp here. So hopefully, you know, they picked up a quality guy.
Well, wasn't that one of their biggest needs last year, aside from wide receivers?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was kind of a team with almost as many needs as you could, you know, ask for. I don't really think they could have gone wrong except for reaching for a guy. And, you know, luckily, like I said, they stayed away from it. And I don't really know how many picks they still have floating around because, you know, they did give up a boatload to go get Trubisky last year. So I'm not sure where, you know, where they kind of stand or how any of that kind of works for them. So we'll have to see if they even have a pick tonight or what they have going on. So that was fun. And, you know, I did see the other thing I got kind of a kick out of, Dan. Josh Rosen was one of the later quarterbacks pulled off the board. I think he ended up going to Arizona. I believe they traded up with Oakland to go get him. And at his press conference, he mentioned that there were 8 mistakes picked before him. And he was going to, you know, in the next decade, he was going to make sure to remind teams, you know, as this went on. Now, you know, there's people who like this and people who don't like this. I kind of got a kick out of it. How did you, how do you feel about a player being, you know, cocky like that?
I mean, I think it's funny, but he better back it up. You know, and not only that, you could call it a mistake or you want, but if you're not one of their desired needs, you know, but as far as that, if I'm one of those 8 teams, you know, I'm not pulling a New Orleans Saints style defense on him, but we're coming for you.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, I mean, I think the advantage you have is going to Arizona. He's probably not going to play this year. You know, they signed Sam Bradford for 1 year, so barring injury, you know, Bradford will play, and it'll give him the opportunity to learn and, you know, put him in a position to succeed there. So we'll have to see how it goes, but I got a kick out of it. I thought it was kind of funny listening to him.
Yeah, well, like you said, I watched nothing on the draft.
So, yeah, I like I said, just bits and pieces here and there. And, you know, I wasn't, you know, and especially like with the first, you know, I mean, it's just so damn long now with, you know, the first round. And like I heard the one guy, they had a former front office guy on. And while Cleveland was in the process of making its pick, everybody was kind of questioning why they were letting the clock run down, you know, why they were taking their time and doing all this when it seemed like they knew who they wanted. And the guy, you know, this was the one positive about it. He let in on a really good tip saying that when he was in the front office, they told him, you don't bring the card up to the table until there's 30 seconds left just in case something happens. So, you know, even though they know who they're picking and everything's going on, you know, they're going to sit there and wait because, well, it, you know, it makes sense for them to do that.
But why? I mean, what's going to change in 6 minutes or whatever the time is?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, you could get a, you know, you could get a trade offer or something like that. I mean, obviously it would be quite difficult to work out in that short period of time, but you know, you never know, right? I mean, you might as well keep your options open.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, is that the truth or does it have to do with TV?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, with this guy, you know, since he was in the front office, I was kind of leaning more to the fact that he knew, you know, what he was talking about. I mean, you know, now I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little more scripted for TV just because of the way they are so far behind coverage on everything. I mean, they have a difficult time just keeping up with pick, you know, pick to pick. And there's a huge separation between these things. But yet, for whatever reason, they can't construct their time in the proper way to where they can talk about a kid and get everything going and, you know, all the other stuff going on in enough time to get it done. And it's just like, well, okay, you know, here we go. Let's go this way then. So... but yeah, they should have the second round should be starting here soon. I don't remember, you know, whatever time they got going on. So we'll have to, I doubt there'll be any, I doubt I'll pay a whole lot of attention to it except to go, you know, it's nice because you can just kind of jump in and catch up on the crawler or, you know, just something like that. So that makes life a whole lot easier without having to sit there pick to pick.
But yeah, I mean, I've got the NFL app on my phone, so I was getting the updates as they were going on. But you know, I don't really know anybody or the college game, so I really didn't know if it was a good pick or not. So.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, the weird thing is, like, I mean, in reality, we don't know if any of these are going to be good picks until. You know, they actually get a chance to play or, however it works out. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's just all huge speculation right now. So, but all right. Well, we did have one afternoon game, Dan, just one. And it was the Brewers here in Chicago against the Cubs. The Cubs did end up getting a win 3-2. I missed the majority of the scoring because 3 of the 5 runs in the game were scored in the first inning. But luckily for me, Pedro Strop picked up the win, and I have him in our auction league. So I got one of those cool, cheap relief wins. Dan Jennings took the loss, and Brandon Morrow picked up the save. So that was kind of nice there. I know Brent Sutter made the start for the Brewers. He was okay. He went 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs. Walked one, struck out 3. Offensively, the Brewers only got 4 hits, and they were all singles. It was Lorenzo Cain, Domingo Santana, Manny Pena, and the pitcher. Sutter actually got one himself. So not a whole lot of offense out of the Brewers. I mean, to be fair, the Cubs did only get 7 hits. But, you know, they picked up the win. For the Cubs, it was Almora, Baez, Rizzo, Hop, Russell, and then Darvish. So both pitchers got a hit. Oh, and then Caratini had a pinch hit. Darvish went 6, 3 hits, 1 run, walked 2, struck out 8. So he had a, you know, I don't know. This is best outing as a Cub, Dan?
Sure.
So. You know, you're happier with that. People can kind of, relax and get off the ledge a little bit now because he had a solid outing?
But yeah, I mean, I picked up Suter just because I needed an extra pitcher. And didn't realize he was going up against the Cubs today when I put him in, so at least I didn't get the loss.
So, yeah, and then, you know, obviously we have a boatload of games tonight. We've got the Diamondbacks at the Nationals. Should be kind of interesting there. We got Zach Godley against Steven Strasburg. The Braves at the Phillies, it's Julio Teheran and Aaron Nola. The Tigers at the Orioles, Mike Fiers and Chris Tillman. The Cardinals at the Pirates, Miles Mikolas against Steven Brault. The Rangers at the Blue Jays, Mike Minor against Marcus Stroman. The Rockies at the Marlins, Tyler Anderson against Jose Urena. Mariners at the Indians, Erasmo Ramirez against Corey Kluber. The Rays at the Red Sox, Blake Snell against Drew Pomerantz. The Reds at the Twins, it's Luis Castillo against Phil Hughes. The Athletics at the Astros, Sean Manaea making his first start since the no-hitter against Dan's guy Dallas Keuchel. The White Sox at the Royals, Ronaldo Lopez against Danny Duffy. The only game that actually I think the major networks think are being played tonight has the Yankees at the Angels, Luis Severino against Andrew Heaney. Ooh. The Mets are at the Padres, Jake Brown against Clayton Richard, and the Dodgers at the Giants, Hyun-Jin Ryu against Derek Holland. So there you go, Dan.
Hey, one of my friends is actually going to the game tonight. She lives out in Phoenix.
And she's going to which game?
Maybe her boy. She went to Anaheim, so she's definitely going to the Dodgers game, right?
Well, you kind of cut out there, so I wasn't sure where you were saying was going who where.
No, so maybe her boyfriend's a Yankees fan. So I thought that was pretty cool, but he's not pitching, so is it worth going, right?
Well, apparently not. I guess it just kind of depends. So, it was another one of those weird scenarios that I get because, the Cubs Brewers game was supposed to be the MLB Network game this afternoon, but of course we don't get that. So it's like, okay, no big deal. And I turned it on afterwards to see where they were because I figured I would get a little bit of intentional talk. And it was intentional talk, but it was basically more or less 15 or 20 minutes of Yankees-Angels talk. And it literally was like there was absolutely no other game being played. It's like, man, there's a full slate of games tonight, guys. Maybe you could give me some info on one of these other ones, help me get a fan to a lineup together, maybe pick some guys who will actually hit home runs for me. But no, they weren't interested in doing that for me, Dan. I guess they don't like me or something, because they just continued to talk about the Angels and the Yankees and, will both these teams win their division? Will they both be in the playoffs? All that fun stuff you get here in April that we just love to talk about. So,
and that's part of the reason we do this podcast. And, when, we go back to whenever MLB Network started, you and I talked about this a million times. My show, for as long as I can remember, was Baseball Tonight. And I really enjoyed, the format they had going. And then it just seemed like, after a while it became, Yankees Tonight. And then, Yankees Red Sox Tonight. And then to sit there and, I was always confused as to why John Kruk was such a Yankees Red Sox lover who never played for the team. And then when Harold Reynolds, went on record saying that Big Papi didn't deserve to go to the Hall of Fame because he was just a designated hitter. And coincidentally, it seemed like he wasn't on air shortly after that anymore. I was so looking forward to the MLB Network, and I was all over it. And then, come today, I have no qualms about not paying the extra money to watch the MLB Network. It's just, I have really desire anymore.
Yeah, I think the only positive is, you know, I get the other games when I'm out there, you know, in the living room flipping around. I can catch up on a game or, you know, see who they're showing. But, yeah, I mean, the shows, you know, and it used to be, I mean, you know, I liked Intentional Talk for the fact that they weren't, I guess you would say as biased as a lot of those are. But, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, we deal with the fact that, you know, MLB Network is in New Jersey. It's considered part of the East Coast. So we're going to get, you know, East Coast bias out of them, too. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know what changes it. I mean, is it just the fact that, you know, obviously the Red Sox and Yankees draw ratings. You know, the teams like the Cubs draw ratings. You know, you could throw the Dodgers in there. You know, is that the only reason? I mean, they don't really want to tell you what's going on. They just want ratings.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it. You know, it's the ratings.
Yeah, you know, so they can go to their sponsors and say, hey, look at the rating in this time slot. You know, this is what we did. You know, look how much you're bringing in. You should give us, you know, money, you know, start giving us money hand over fist because we're doing these big numbers for you. And it no longer matters that we're actually reporting on the sport.
Why would you do that? I mean, it's the same with news. You know, lead with all the murders and the car chases and, you know, all that good stuff. Just watch Anchorman. Anchorman 2, more so.
Yes. So, yeah, you know, it's just weird because, you know, I would like to see, you know, some of the, you know, the younger guys, you know, like Acuna got a call up from the Braves and ended up hitting a homer in his first game. You know, but we didn't, you know, we didn't see that. They, you know, oddly, they weren't interested in showing that. I guess you're only interesting as a prospect when you're in the minor leagues and they can talk about you or about how teams should trade for you.
Yeah. Well, and you forget that, he's not.
You know, you get.
He didn't come up leading off a home run as a grandstand on the Red Sox or the Yankees against the Reds. He was on the Braves against the Reds, who hit a home run into the top deck of the stadium that had like seven people out there. And, you know, and oddly enough, the thing I found really humorous about the situation was a Braves fan caught the ball, took the ball, and took off running. So I don't know where the hell he went.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where he was going, but he did. Acuna did end up getting the ball. They showed a photo of him and the guy who caught it. So he did get the ball back at least. But yeah, that was just kind of, you know, well, I guess his odds weren't too bad. Like you said, there were only about seven people up there. So, you know, he had pretty decent odds. If it, you know, it would have been full or something, it might have been a little more difficult for him. But yeah, it wasn't, you know, I mean, I know, you know, people crush the White Sox and stuff for that. Yeah, there's not people filling up, you know, Cincinnati or, you know, a lot of those other ballparks yet either. So it's not just the White Sox that are, you know, dealing with that fun stuff.
Well, no, I mean, even I was watching the Yankees game the other night and you're like, you know, it's the Yankees. Where is everybody? But, you know, part of it's lucky weather.
So it's one of those things that you get to, you know, you have to deal with this time of year. I mean, you know, they started a little early and the weather's been bad. I mean, it just now looks like we're, you know, kind of coming out of it where, you know, you and I live, you know, in the Chicago area. So, you know, we'll have to if maybe we, you know, well, yeah, I know it's raining now, but I mean, it's still 50 out. I mean, it's, you know, a couple weeks ago it was in the 20s. So
yeah, that's true. I don't know. I got out of work and it was a lot colder than it was when I went walked in this morning. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. You know, and Dan, you know, Dan, I know you're in, you need to know this, Dan. Ohtani is hitting fifth tonight and DHing for the Angels. So.
Oh, nice. Well, I guess she and her boyfriend will get to see Ohtani.
Yeah, you know, and then of course, you know, the Sunday night game on the Mickey Mouse Network is Yankees-Angels as well. I guess they're assuming Ohtani's going to pitch because I saw a commercial for it earlier, and he was dominating the highlight. So I guess they're thinking he's going to come back because I think he pitched, what, Tuesday?
Yeah, he pitched on a weekday.
So, yeah. So we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But, you know, and I know, like, you know, we were talking about it a little, you know, well, yeah, just real quick. We're talking about it a little bit ago, you know, like, Friday night, they're going to show a game on the MLB Network, and, you know, it's going to be like Diamondbacks, Nationals, or Rockies, Marlins. So it's all, you know, without having to, you know, get everything going or, you know, sit in my bedroom and watch the game, I can, you know, kind of relax on the couch and stay awake and watch, you know, a little out-of-market game. So that's always nice. But, yeah, you know, other than that, I don't know.
Yeah, you need to get a smart TV in the living room. But, no, they, you know, they, of course, they want the draw. They want the ratings when they put these games on TV. But the way the ball has been juiced this year, I mean, whether it's, you know, the Giants or not the Giants, whether it's the, you know, the Angels and the Yankees or the Reds and the Braves, I mean, you're missing a lot of action. There's a lot, you know, and I think what's, I think the hard part that today's, what just people can't grasp about today's game is the fact that there, you know, there's a lot of down. You know, you may get three home runs in the first couple innings, and there may not be another one until the ninth inning. And, you know, but that's what kind of annoys me about the game today is that that's all anyone cares about is what the home runs are. You know, but it's every team now. You know, everybody's got, you know, power hitters, but, you know, growing up watching the game, especially coming from the steroid era, the guys hitting the bombs were all these big juiced up guys where you can't tell me that the fact that, you know, Acuña, you know, came up. I mean, you know, he's under 20 because Ozzy Albies is like 21 years old. And I mean, these guys haven't even, you know, tapped into any kind of muscular strength yet. And I mean, they're rocking it out of the park. So, you know, it, with baseball, if you're a baseball fan, it really shouldn't matter what game's on. Just tune in because you're going to see a good game no matter what. You know, unfortunately, you're going to have bad plays, you know, like we've talked about with some of the young guys on the White Sox. You know, some of their defensive side of the game has been very minor league-ish. But, you know, and then we talked about the Cubs and the Rockies. Like, Rockies have a pretty much veteran infield, and yet nobody knew that they had to cover first base when there was a bunt laid down. So, you know, I think that's part of the game that I'm confused on is, you know, what are we working on? Are we only working on developing, you know, your launch angle and forget everything else?
Yeah, you know, you do have to wonder at times, don't you? You know, I mean, I get it occasionally, you know, a guy has a brain cramp and, you know, they, you know, you'll forget to cover a base or something, you know, like that'll happen. Okay, I get it. You know, we see that from time to time. No, you know, no big deal. But yeah, it's, I mean,
yeah, we're seeing it way too often. It's becoming a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, if there was one thing, you know, I remember especially training with you for our pro wrestlers was you pounded in the fundamentals. you know, all the other flash and pizzazz, all the high top flying moves, those were all just added in. And, you know, you can practice those layers, but when you have the basic fundamentals, you know, you could run a wrestling match anywhere in the country at any time. And as long as all that was smooth, then you throw in the extra stuff, you know, that's what really made the match. And, you know, how does that compare to baseball? Well, all the fundamentals are, you should be, they should be there. You shouldn't have to think about it. You should just do it. You know, it should just happen naturally. Where, you know, I mean, I know I get on guys a little bit, but it's maybe because I'm old and I've been watching this game for so long, but I feel like we're seeing more lack in the fundamentals. I mean, you know, Kyle Schwarber comes up and everything is, you know, his power is Babe Ruthism. And to me, the more I see it, the more that's all I see, though. You know, I watch this guy fumble running the bases. Like, he doesn't really, you know, understand. Kind of like he's almost aggressive to me. You know, he hasn't really gotten any better and improved in the outfield. Maybe that will change over the course of this season. But the more I watch him play, the more I just fully believe that he does not belong on this Cubs team. And he belongs on a team like, you know, the Angels, the White Sox, the Yankees. I don't care. Pick an American League team because that's where he belongs. He belongs sitting on a bench where he only has to come up every ninth time and hit the ball. You know, and you figure what? Out of five DHs all the time? Cause, and that would be the other thing. He'd have more at bat. Because with the situation the Cubs have, they have, number one, they have way too many players that play too many, you know, of the same position for him to continue to play. And not only that, he's not really that great at the outfield. So, you know, his consistency would come in if he were on the American League. And that's just hands down. I mean, you know, a guy at work and I were talking about it. And, you know, that's why, you know, Theo's the general manager and, you know, we're sitting here talking about it. But at the same token, you know, a guy like Javi Baez, he didn't bring up, you know, I brought up the fact that they, you know, they try this Ben Zobrist crap way too much with every single one of their players. And it just doesn't work out that way. You know, yeah, they won the World Series, but they didn't win the World Series by trying to make all, you know, taking a guy like Ian Happ, who's a natural second baseman, growing up being a second baseman, and putting him in the outfield. They tried him in center. Guess what? It isn't working. So what do they do now? Now they're platooning him into left field. We'll see his starts in center here and there, but, you know, there's a reason why he should be in the infield. And I don't know if his Zobrist is getting too old to be in the outfield, or is he hurt again? I haven't even double-checked on Zobrist, because, I mean, I think his time with the Cubs should be pretty much over, but, you know, they signed him to that 4-year deal, so you're stuck with him.
Yeah, he's on the DL, by the way. He's supposed to come off either tomorrow or Sunday.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? I mean, these guys, you know, everyone really kind of sides with, you know, oh, well, he won the World Series and he did that. I mean, a lot of it is a matter of luck and, you know, being in the right place at the right time. What they're building now, you know, what they're trying to do, I don't know if that's going to get them back to a World Series again. You know, you've got, what, two guys that play, three guys. You've got Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras, and pretty much Hayward. They're the only guys who stick to one position. And everyone else, you're just trying to, well, let's see if they work here. Let's see if they work here. Instead of putting together something solid so that they can get the consistency, so they can get into the game and continue to play and perform and get better. But how do you get better when every other day you're sitting on the bench wondering, well, where am I going to play tomorrow? Where am I going to play tomorrow? Now that I'm playing, I got a ton of pressure on me. I mean, why do you think, you know, Kyle Schwarber seemed to be in a groove when the 2 days they were in Cleveland? Well, maybe the one day. Whole team was off that second day.
Remember, though, that, you know, that's the you know, that's the new wave of baseball, is, you know, to be a super utility guy.
It doesn't work. It's a load if it doesn't work.
No, you know, I think each team needs one or two guys, mm-hmm, who can play multiple positions. You know, for you know, whatever reason, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's important in those cases. And, you know, like it worked for Zobrist through his career. You know, he was one of the very few guys who was able to, you know, move and still play consistently. But yeah, it definitely doesn't work for anybody. I mean, remember the ill-fated, you know, Javi Baez outfield experiment. You know, the ill-fated Javi Baez outfield experiment that lasted about four games in winter ball before they realized what a butcher he was out there. You know, he made Kyle Schwarber look like a Gold Glove winner. But now, you know, since we kind of ended up on this, now do you think it's possible that Schwarber is hurt defensively by the fact that he had very little experience in the outfield and he was legitimately a catcher until he was drafted? Mm-hmm. You know, and then at first, you know, he still caught the majority of the time. Obviously, I don't know about the majority of the time, but when he played, he caught. He was a DH the majority of the time. So, you know, shame on the Cubs for not thinking ahead and figuring out that he was going to need to, you know, do this. And, I mean, I get it. It probably would have taken him longer to get to the majors. And then, you know, what would you do with Wilson Contreras? You know, would he be the guy playing left field now? I mean, who knows? But do you think that contributes to his poor defense that – you know, he probably hadn't played the outfield since maybe Little League.
I think that has a big thing to do with it. I mean, if he were, you know, if he could have been the catcher, I still think that they could have brought up Contreras and he would have definitely contributed in the left field. I mean, we don't see the same type of stuff out of Contreras as we do out of Schwarber.
You know, and remember, at one point in time in Contreras' minor league career, he was a third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously there, you know, there's no room there in the system for that. I mean, you know, I mean, Chris Bryant, as long as he's healthy, is going to play there for the next, you know, 10 plus years, hopefully. So,
well,
you know, if
know,
he ever
I
recovers from the injury he has now, he didn't play again today.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's there's something to be said about the fact that with a lot of these kids that are coming out of some of the Latin American countries, it seems like, I don't want to say so much Puerto Rico, because it's, you know, it's a little Americanized down there, but some of the Dominican and some of the other South Americans where they're just running around playing whatever position, and we're seeing more conversions.
Right.
You know, we're seeing guys that used to be a full-time pitcher just go out and, you know, become star outfielders or infielders. We're seeing guys who, you know, we're catchers that are come to the majors and all of a sudden they're a freaking, you know, lights out closer. You know, I'm exaggerating on that one, but you know, we're seeing that where with the American style, you know, it's you're becoming way too focused on doing one thing. And while they want to be super utility guys, they just can't do it because you get in a position, and maybe that's my mentality too, is you get in a position and they're pretty much stuck there. But it's not just that. I mean, it seems like all they care about is the hitting. And, well, you're going to play this one position, so we'll just, you know, we'll give you some on that, but we're going to hit. Where I feel like with some of the South Americans and, you know, even Dominicans, they're all around learning the game completely. They're just learning to play ball. And I think that's the difference with some of the pressure from the American side of it is you're not just going out there and playing ball and having fun. You know, I mean, Chris Bryant came out and said, you know, with the bat flips and all that, you know, act like you've been there before. But I mean, at the same token, you know, let's go back to the WBC, the World Baseball Classic, you know, and all the Puerto Rican team, you know, they bleach their hair. But I think at the end of the day, I forget who won. Does it really matter? They were, I think, I felt like watching the Puerto Rican team versus the American team, they were having so much more fun. They were just having fun. They were playing ball. They were doing it the way it's supposed to be done, having a good time.
Well, no, there's nothing against having fun in baseball. I mean, I get it when, you know, it goes a little too far at times, you know, but like, you know, to me, there's absolutely nothing wrong with a nice, fun little bat flip. I mean, you know, that doesn't bother me. I mean, I know a lot of the veteran guys get, you know, ape crazy, you know, he's disrespecting this or that. And, I know, we talked about the Carlos Gomez walk-off earlier in the week. You know, I had a little problem with that. I thought he got a little carried away with himself. A guy flips the bat, or even like the Jose Bautista bat flip in the playoffs against the Rangers. I mean, you're in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have done the same damn thing. That's like saying Joe Carter over celebrated when he hit a home run that won the World Series. You know, I mean, he was jumping down up and down so much he missed first base, had to go back and retouch it. You know, I mean, nobody punished him for doing that. I mean, you know, you've got to kind of, you know, learn that fine little line there between, you know, what's, you know, let's have a good time and, you know, let's not get carried away with ourselves. I mean, sadly, I think we've all been through that.
Yeah, and I think where the line can be drawn, though, is, I have no issue. I've seen when players, you know, pitchers get a little pissy, or, you know, infielders get a little mad when, a pitcher or, you know, a batter rocks one out of there and stares at the ball for too long. I don't have an issue with that. I think you're a little uptight and you need to get the pole removed, because he's not staring at you. You know, if it's Bryce Harper and I don't know, pick a pitcher. I want to say, just because he's off the top of my head, and you pick a pitcher and they have some kind of, you know, small little beef going on. If Bryce Harper hits a home run and doesn't watch the ball and stares down the pitcher, now you're kind of pushing it, you know, that you're getting a little personal on it. But I mean, if, you know, you hit a rock one out of the park and you take a moment to admire it, start jogging, but it doesn't deserve that whole John Lackey where you're going to get beamed in the next at bat because you stared it down. Or, you know, and I say him because I've seen it. You know, a guy hit a home run off of him and didn't run fast enough for John Lackey's pace, and he got all pissy about it. Like, get over it, old man. You know, there was, it was yesterday between, was it yesterday? I think it was Orlando Arcia and Javi Baez ran out something, and Javi, you know, touched the base, was safe, and, you know, gave him the shake the hand finger, like, no, you're not going to get me. But it was all in good fun, you know, and that's what I like to see too, is, you know, two teams are going against each other. You know, Javi knew he had the arm, he got to beat him out. He beat him out, and they both just kind of looked at each other, admonished the fact that, hey, I won. And I hope the next time, you know, Arcia gets him, he's like, I got you. And Javi's like, yeah, you got me. You know, that's the kind of stuff I like to see, especially in today's game where it's so uptight, man. It's just so uptight.
Yeah, no, you know, like, I had no problem with that. I don't think anybody did. I can understand, you know, when you get taken deep as a pitcher, you know, you're a little irritated, you know, because nobody wants to give up home runs. You don't want to see that guy standing there admiring his home run. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, run, you know, let's get this over with. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I've never seen an instance where a guy actually just stands at home plate. You know, they may hold the bat and take a couple of steps a little bit longer, but, you know, I mean, that's, I don't really have an issue with it. I think, you know, sometimes you've got to admire your accomplishments. You got to have fun.
Yeah. That's only fun for the batter. You know, that's not fun for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, the nine guys on the field aren't having fun with that. There's only one guy enjoying that moment right there. So.
Yeah, but in today's game, six of those nine guys are most likely going to hit a home run later in that game.
So, you know what I mean? I'm sure as, you know, time goes on and some of these, you know, long time veterans, you know, get out of the game. You know, I think things will loosen up a little and, you know, they'll be able to have, you know, we'll have a little more fun. I don't know if it'll ever be like it is, you know, in some of the other countries, but, you know, I think, you know, things will, you know, eventually loosen up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, as we completely went away from where we started, you know, I don't know if...
What did we start on? I don't even remember.
It was the, you know, kind of getting stuck in a position or, you know, super utility.
Oh, and I did mean to tell you, you were right, even though you self-corrected yourself and you didn't have to. Kenley Jansen used to be a catcher who's now a shutdown closer. So
yeah, I knew there was somebody. But, you know, and I mean, we don't really see that. There's only really one American player in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, and I forgot who he was. He was the guy who played for the Cardinals who he was an outfielder, and then he went to a pitcher. You know, he pretty much got kicked out of the game after steroid. Yes, and Keel. I really liked him. He had a gun.
Yeah, Rick, yeah.
But, you know, yeah, we don't really see that.
He was frickin' Duke Malouche. He couldn't throw strikes. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know why that is with the American players, though, don't you?
Because the parents only stick with one thing. You can't do anything else.
Right. Right, because daddy sees him, and he's the best pitcher or catcher or, you know, first or third or wherever he's playing. And, you know, daddy's eyes light up and, okay, this is my ticket to fame, you know, and I'm going to be the LeVar Ball of baseball. You know, I mean, it, you know, interestingly, I mean, don't forget, remember Bryce Harper was a catcher.
Yeah. I don't remember that. Actually.
To draw attention to him. He was a catcher in college. And, you know, but the Nationals didn't screw around like the Cubs did. They immediately moved him to the outfield. I don't think he ever caught a game in the minor leagues. I believe he went directly into the outfield. you know, that's always the hang up there. I mean, you know, parents pigeonhole their kids into one position and they don't get to grow or develop. I mean, you know, I know you wouldn't know this by looking at me now, but I started as a center fielder. As funny as that may seem. Right. I was actually my first 2 years in baseball, I was the center fielder. Mostly because I was the only kid at age 8 and 9 who could catch fly balls. But you know, that was my gig. And then, you know, sadly as I got fatter as a little fat kid, I ended up behind the plate, and you know, then they wouldn't let me play anywhere else. You know, if I was lucky, I got to play first or third. But other than that, it was like, hey, you know, put the equipment on. Oh, okay, thanks. So.
Yeah, oddly for me, it was, I was positioned on the left side of the field. Short, third, left, center, sometimes. For some reason, I don't know what it was, but I never played first base or right field.
That's because you weren't a big fat guy. Otherwise, they would have put you at first base.
Well, you should have been doing the splits every day, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, no, you know, back then, you know, you just kind of hoped that they could get you the damn ball, you know, at that point. So it was, you know, kind of frightening. But, you know, I didn't play it enough to really – know anything or any of that stuff. It was just like, you know, by then I wasn't afraid of the ball. I had caught so much, so I didn't care. I'm like, okay, you know, so here we go. I'll just deal with this. You know, but yeah, that's, you know, but yeah, it's, you know, and I see it, you know, a lot now. I mean, you know, not only do you get pigeonholed into a position, but, you know, you get pigeonholed into a sport. You know, I mean, now if you're a, you know, if you're a baseball player, you play baseball 12 months a year here, you know, or if you're a football player or a basketball player, I mean, that's all you do.
That's it.
You know, yeah, and I'm baffled at how, you know, kids can handle that. And I mean, especially, man, if you're a pitcher, I can just imagine the toll that's taken on your arm, because you're pitching 12 months a year.
Well, why else are they having Tommy John at 17 years old?
Yeah, I mean, well, that and the fact that, you know, they teach them curveballs at, you know, 9 and 10 when they shouldn't be throwing that junk. You know, your arm isn't even fully developed, and they've got you, you know, snapping stuff off, and you know they're not doing it correctly. You know, there's a correct way to throw a curveball, and you damn well know, you know, no matter how many times you show a 9 or 10-year-old kid, he's not going to do it right. You know, maybe every once in a while, but I'm willing to bet the majority of the time he gets it wrong. You know, and I mean, your, you know, little underdeveloped arm doesn't need to, you know, need to be doing that. I mean, if you're half intelligent as a coach, you can teach the kid to make the ball move with you by just throwing a fastball.
One, not only that, well, yeah, you're right, because of the finger position on the ball.
Right.
You know, we, you know, with just alone with the fastball, you've got, you know, your forefinger, two finger, split finger. You know, number one, these kids at 10 to even 13 aren't even hitting the ball, a regular ball tossed up to them. Why are you worried about a curveball? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, if you throw hard enough, you know, you could get by with a, you know, a fastball and a curveball. Or not a fastball and curveball, fastball and a changeup. You know, because the changeup isn't going to hurt your arm. It's the same grip as the fastball. So, you know, I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, learning things right. I mean, I coached for a long time. I can make a fastball go left or right, whatever I need it to do, just by placing my fingers on the baseball a different way.
I didn't know that.
You know, and I never, really yeah, I never, you know, I was never a pitcher. I was always on the opposite end of it, you know, but obviously you learn about pitching as a catcher. So,
yeah, I did have a catcher's mitt,
you know, it, yeah, well, trust me, I had a few.
I love it. I don't know. It was, yeah, one of the coolest things I had.
And it was one of those odd things that, you know, I think I realized after I started catching that it was the best place to be, because I would always play because nobody else wanted to do it. And I didn't mind. It didn't bother me. You know, I mean, you were wearing gear, the ball, you know, nobody threw hard enough to hurt you. You know, if the worst part was, you know, you always go through the struggles of, you know, you get hit with the bat, you learn. You know, it's like that first wrestling bump when you slam your head on the mat, you knock yourself silly, you learn not to do it again. You know, so you learn where to sit so, you know, you don't get hit with the bat. And, you know, then the only negatives are foul tips. But even at a young age, you don't get a ton of, you know, hard foul tips just because the velocity doesn't add up between the pitchers and the hitters. So... but yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't think I know too many kids who come up now as exclusively as catchers. You know, that seems to be more of a, right, you know, because, you know, and the weird part is, you know, if you're good at it, it's really the quickest way to get to the majors. But if you're good, teams don't want you back there because there's such an injury risk. You know, I mean, how many years have we heard that, you know, this is finally the year the Giants move Buster Posey to first base full time? You know,
yeah,
I think we hear that about every year, don't we?
Every year. Yeah, from people who aren't, you know, San Francisco Giants.
Some writer, you know.
I don't understand that logic, though. I just don't understand. I mean, look at the Molinas. These guys sat behind a plate forever. Pudge Rodriguez sat behind that plate for almost 20 years. Benito Santiago, what was it, forever with the Padres. I always get them confused. Was it Sandy Alomar or Roberto? I know one of the Alomar
brothers. Sandy was a catcher.
Yeah, Sandy was a catcher. I mean, these guys stuck behind the plate. Johnny Bench, I'm sure he moved when he got older. You know, Carlton Fisk. I never got to see the Red Sox version of Carlton Fisk. I hear it was a lot better. But I mean, I don't see where the injury risk comes in. Yeah, you're bent down a lot and it's, you know, but you get used to it. You adjust to it, just like you adjust to playing all the other positions. So I don't know why anyone would not want to be a catcher. You know, and a lot of catchers,
Yeah,
you
well,
either,
you
well, and I think it's because of the defensive portion of it. Nobody wants to be known for defense because, you know, you'd rather be known for being a power hitter.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, there is obviously a greater injury risk as a catcher than there is at the other positions, you know, just because of the situations you're put in. You know, obviously baseball has helped that with, you know, taking away being able to run over the guy and, you know, those kind of things. So, you know, we the Buster Posey rule, as we call it. So,
Well, it pretty much
but
is.
yeah, I, you know, that, you know, that, and, you know, they also believe that it wears on you offensively. You know, and Posey, obviously an exception to that. I mean, his offensive numbers really haven't waned, but you know, they believe that, you know, the more games you catch, the more it wears on you, the worse your offense gets. Now, some of the old guys you mentioned, you know, the Bench, the Fisks, the guys like that, it never affected them. So I
No.
don't know why it affects these new guys, but that's what, you know, that's the belief.
You know, I mean, you know, the nice thing about Wilson Contreras is he can pick up and go play left field if you need him to because of, you know, they have Victor Caratini, who they need to get playing time in. And, you know, if a situation like what happens with the Cubs where, you know, everyone's hurt or you only carry, you know, 12 guys on the bench. And you need someone to play the outfield. You know, but I mean, Gary Sanchez, he's another one. You're telling me with the team that they have, that there's ever going to be an opportunity for that kid to come out from behind the plate. For some reason, you know, the freaking Yankees keep coming up with these first basemen out of nowhere. I'm like, where the hell did this kid come from? Why is he in bombs? I never even heard of him.
Yeah, well, he could always DH.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but you still need someone to catch. But you know what I mean? I mean, it's you. I don't know. You just have to appreciate every position in the game because they all matter, and that's what I think is dumb, is that sometimes they make things out to be like they don't matter.
Yeah, it's odd the way they, you know, they look. It's difficult to believe that a team would move a guy from behind the plate because they're trying to save him if he's a great defensive catcher. I mean, that would be stupid, but who knows?
Well, and I'll continue to say this, and I don't care if, you know, idiots on our local radio call me stupid. Kyle Schwarber would have never gotten hurt behind the plate like he did playing out in the outfield with Dexter Fowler, who has
So, and
no sense of
I
control
am
over the
noticing,
field.
and you're going to have to sing the rollout song again because my computer has decided to update itself while we're in the last minute of the show. So sadly, I cannot hit the music, but we did last all the way through, so that's a big plus.
Well,
So
hey,
yeah, Dan and I are getting ready to roll. Dan and I are getting ready to roll out of here. So I will be in morning at 10 a.m. with Mr. Fantasy. Dan will return with me, of course, Monday at 5:30 to do this all again for the week. So Dan and I carry the majority of the load. Mr. Fantasy just tags in on Sundays to get the glory. But while we're gone, sportstimeradio.com, look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Link to
roll
the
out.
Facebook feed is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you'd like to look us up. As always, a big thanks
Roll it
for
out.
listening live, but don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want over at tunein.com. All right, you know, Dan and I also just
SportsTimeRadio.com.
realized that I can't shut down the studio until my computer stops updating. So I guess I'll have to come back and check that.
Yeah, well,
All right.
have a good weekend.
Say good night, Gary. Yeah, you too.